Welcome to First Bite, our Detroit Lions preview podcast for PrideOfDetroit.com. We are here. It is week five. We have 2-3-1 teams facing off with each other. The Detroit Lions, the Carolina Panthers. It's an NFC showdown. I'm Jeremy Reisman, the extravagant new host, at least this week. I've gone through some little adequate spurts of my own, but we won't get into that. I'm the managing editor of PrideOfDetroit.com. We are here previewing Lions, Panthers, and with us, as always, the guy with the perfect attendance for just about every year we've been running this Pride of Detroit podcast is Ryan Matthews. Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
Never describe yourself as adequate because it's going to come through. It'll become your true colors. Okay, I am doing phenomenal. I am so excited to talk about the Lions and the Panthers.
I'm guessing you are well prepared at this point, aren't you?
I'm well versed. I could probably tell you more about the Panthers than I could maybe 45 minutes ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, we have a guest, as always, from the opposing team to give us a viewpoint that maybe we don't have. And today that man is the managing editor of Cat Scratch Reader. Some would say maybe he's the fearless leader of Cat Scratch Reader. That man is Bradley Smith. Thanks for joining us tonight. Bradley, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So we like to kick these things off with the injury report, and we might take up the entire first segment of this because combined, these teams have 27 players on the Wednesday injury report. We're recording this Wednesday night. So we don't know necessarily the full how exactly important these injuries are, how drastic these injuries are, but there's a lot of guys on each list and we want to get to them. So Bradley, can you go over some of the bigger names on the Panthers injury reports and maybe the more significant injuries based on what you know?
Yeah, sure. I will go ahead and take one name off of the list. Julius Peppers is technically on the injury report, but he was, he got the day off because it was Wednesday and he got a vet day. He hasn't practiced on Wednesday since he came back to Carolina. So he's not really quote unquote injured. He'll probably suit up on Sunday and he'll probably get, you know, like 8 sacks because he's Julius Peppers.
Of course that would happen. As yeah. A Lions fan, of course that would happen.
But you know, some of our notable injuries, we have Darrell Worley, who he was limited today. He's back at practice. He missed last week's game against the Patriots with a shoulder injury. You know, Curtis Samuel was limited today. He missed last week's game with a back injury. There's no telling if he'll play or not. Cam Newton was limited, but that's kind of the quote unquote new normal for Cam Newton. He doesn't practice much through the week. They'll probably ramp him up on tomorrow and even more on Friday to get him ready for the game. But he's pretty much going to be a constant on the injury report as long as he's recovering from his offseason shoulder surgery. The biggest issue that we have is our two centers, Ryan Khalil and Tyler Larson, were both listed on the do not practice part of the report. We had one of our offensive guards, Greg Van Roten, was taking snaps today at practice at center. And it's kind of concerning to us because, you know, we do need a starting center to play. Ryan Khalil hasn't played since week one. The word on Tyler Larson, though, is it feels like it's just a precautionary thing because he didn't miss any action last week and he didn't come out of the game. But, you know, the fact that he didn't practice today is slightly concerning for us.
Is there any hope that Ryan Khalil plays this week? I know he's missed, I believe, 3 straight games, and I know there's a certain amount of mystery to what exactly is going on with his neck injury. Is there any indication that he's nearing a return at this point?
It looks like he could be. Like he actually was on the field today. He worked out with the team. He just didn't take part in the actual practice part of practice, which is an improvement. And you know, the biggest question still remains: what exactly is wrong with his neck? He woke up on the Sunday of the Buffalo game in week 2 with a quote unquote sore neck, and we haven't heard any word on it other than that. You know, the team is being very secretive with it. We don't know if he, you know, just literally slept on a rock, or if, you know, he's missing part of his spine. I mean, we have no idea at this point, and that's the scary thing, because, you know, if it were just something like a neck strain or, you know, something like that, you would think that they would just say so. So we're hopeful that it's nothing serious, and we're hopeful that he's able to play, because he is – he's a Pro Bowl center. He is a veteran leader. He is, you know, he's the guy who knows all the protections. He calls out all the protections on the line. He's very, very important to the overall cohesiveness of the offensive line. So we're very hopeful to see him on Sunday.
Just wheeling back to a couple of guys that you mentioned before, Curtis Samuel, Daryl Worley. Obviously, Daryl Worley is probably important to this Panthers team, considering they've been struggling in the secondary. What would it mean to have him playing on Sunday?
It would mean a lot. We need him for depth mostly. You know, we're very thin in the secondary. It's our secondary depth concern is more at safety than it is at cornerback, but we need as many bodies as we can get. You know, our two backup corners are Captain Munnerlin, who is more of a slot corner type guy. He's not really an outside player. And Kevon Seymour, who has only been on the team since the beginning of the season. We traded for him, you know, right after cut day happened. We traded one of our wide receivers to Buffalo for Seymour. So, you know, we definitely hope Daryl Worley is able to go, if for no other reason than to have one extra body that can play in the secondary.
And then with Samuel, he's obviously the Panthers' second-round pick wide receiver. He hasn't done much this season, but I know he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. If he's a go this week, what does that mean for, you know, making the Panthers' offense a little more dynamic this week?
If he's able to go, I think you'll see them try to get the ball to him in space like they do with Christian McCaffrey. They like to run the end around with him. Mm-hmm. Because he does have some pretty good speed. They like to put him in the slot and let him take advantage of, you know, mismatches over the middle with linebackers, things like that. But we really haven't seen much of him because he's been hurt so much. So I don't know if he would really have that much of an impact on the game, just because I don't think they would put him out there for maybe five or six plays. Even if he's healthy and ready to go, he's probably not going to see a lot of action either way.
One more injury. He's not on the injury report because technically he's on injured reserve at this point. Let's talk about Greg Olsen and what kind of hole he's left on this roster. Have the Panthers adjusted at this point? Is there a new guy that Lions fans should be worried about that's kind of taken over his targets?
Yeah. You know, there's really no replacing Greg Olsen. He's, in my opinion, the only tight end in the league that's better than him is Rob Gronkowski. And you just can't replace that. You can patch it together the best you can, and that's kind of what Carolina's done. You know, Ed Dixon is our tight end too. He gets about 2 to 3 opportunities a game to make catches. We use him mostly for a blocking role. But one guy that you guys need to really watch out for is Devin Funchess. He's our wide receiver 2 on the depth chart, but because we use Greg Olsen so much, he's kind of been relegated to wide receiver 3, you know, in the past. But with Olsen out, he's kind of stepped up into that second option. And he looked really good last week against New England. He had 2 touchdowns. He was one of the big reasons we were able to win that game. So, you know, on Sunday, you should probably keep an eye out on number 17.
You know, my Michigan ears love hearing that. Ryan, let's move over to the Lions side of the injury report. The Lions have 13 guys on their Wednesday injury report. Are there any specific names out there that stick out to you that might be impactful this week?
For sure. Maybe not impactful, because I do fully expect these two guys to play, but Rick Wagner and TJ Lang, they were obviously huge offseason acquisitions for the Lions. TJ Lang was back on the injury report with his fibula injury. That seems to be something he's been playing through almost all this year. It wasn't listed on the injury report earlier in the season, but it seems like an injury that some of the beat writers have said that he's been kind of dealing with for the entire season. But I fully expect him to play. Rick Wagner, it listed as ankle, shoulder. So, I mean, literally, maybe that just means his entire body. I do expect him to play too, but those were two guys that took an awful lot of abuse from that Minnesota defensive line. So having Wednesday off maybe wasn't the worst thing in the world to give those guys. But I think those two injuries aside, the other injury that obviously Lions fans need to pay attention to is Jared Davis, right? I mean, he's out of concussion protocol. He's moved on from that. Now he is limited in practice with a neck injury. We're not sure whether or not this is directly related to what happened in the Monday night game against the Giants. I think that obviously we don't want to speculate, but there may be some kind of correlation between those two injuries. Hopefully he's trending in the right direction, because he would be a huge get back for a Lions team that is almost certainly going to be without Paul Warlow. He suffered that knee injury in the Vikings game last week on the very first defensive snap from scrimmage. And also not sure if Steve Longa will play. Maybe he will. I mean, he did play a pretty emotional game last Sunday, but yeah. And then Kenny Golladay with the hamstring, he didn't play last week against Minnesota. He was also a non-participant in practice on Wednesday with that hamstring injury. It's a little bit concerning. Jeremy, you were in Minnesota. From what I could see on the TV, and I've watched the game over again, but I don't have the luxury of like Alex Reno, who has a Twitter sugar mama who will buy him Game Pass. So I can't see the All 22 film, but I did watch it a second time. I still didn't see the wide receivers creating a whole lot of separation. What did you really see in Minnesota? And does Kenny Golladay potentially not playing, does that concern you at all this week?
Well, it does and it doesn't, because Kenny Golladay, as much as we love riding that hype train, he hasn't really proven himself. I mean, even when he was healthy, TJ Jones was getting a healthy amount of snaps ahead of him, and TJ Jones had an okay game against Minnesota. But I'm with you 100% that the Lions wide receivers were not getting open in Minnesota. That might be a little bit easier of a task against against the Panthers this week. As we mentioned before, they're a little beat up in the secondary. They're kind of thin there as is. We didn't even mention that they placed one of their starting safeties on IR this week. So maybe you can give us a little more insight into that, Bradley. Where do you think this Panthers secondary is specifically vulnerable, and could a guy like Kenny Golladay change that matchup in their favor?
Yeah, one of our biggest weaknesses in the secondary is the fact that we lost Kurt Coleman. He got hurt last week against New England. He's out for, 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain. So, he's definitely not going to play on Sunday. He's our best player in the secondary. Our backup safety, Demetrius Cox, also got hurt against New England. He hurt his ankle. He said he got his foot caught in the turf, making a play against the Patriots. So he's probably going to be okay on Sunday, but we don't know yet. And because of that, we brought Jarius Byrd in from the street to play safety for us. And Ron Rivera said he could come in and play on Sunday because he's a veteran and he knows the defense. He knows what to do. I'm not too confident in that. I don't think he'll be able to really get more than about, maybe 25 snaps. I don't know if he's even in shape, to play a full game. So if Demetrius Cox is unable to play, then we're looking at Colin Jones, and Colin Jones is a special teamer for a reason. He's not very good at safety. He can run in a straight line very fast, but that's about all he can do. So if Golladay is healthy and you can find a way to get him one-on-one, over the middle, in the middle of our zone, because we like to play zones and leave gaping wide open holes in the middle of the field, you could take advantage of our weakened secondary and our weakened safeties, because, our other safety is Mike Adams, and he's 92 years old. I guess the short answer to your question would be yes. provided Golladay's healthy, because I know he's on your injury report with a hamstring. Matthew Stafford can definitely expose the lack of talent that we do have behind the front seven.
Well, and I think Ryan brings up a good point about the Lions' offensive line. They technically have three starters listed on the injury report. Rick Wagner and TJ Lang both sat out. Travis Swanson is still on the injury report, limited with an ankle injury. While I think I agree with Ryan that all three of the guys are going to play on Sunday, I don't necessarily think they're going to be at their best. Rick Wagner and TJ Lang looked pretty beat up at the end of that Minnesota game. You know, they were walking off the field very slowly. Lang had to sit out for one play because he was injured. This is a bad team to be injured on the offensive line, is it not?
Yeah. Our biggest strength is our front seven. You know, we've got Julius Peppers, who I'm sure you're familiar with. He's spent quite a few years in the NFC North. So, and it doesn't matter that he's 37 years old. You know, we have to qualify that. Normally you would be like, oh, he's old and it doesn't matter, but he plays like he's 25. I mean, he's on pace for 18 sacks. So, you know, you have to watch out for him. Mario Addison is our other defensive end, and he's pretty good. We also have Charles Johnson, who he's not showing up on the stat sheet because he's mostly in a rotational role at defensive end, but he's impacting the game because he's doing the things that don't show up. You know, he's holding blocks. He's, you know, allowing other players to make plays, things like that. So, you know, you need to watch out for him. We have Kawan Short, who's one of the best pass rushing defensive tackles in the NFL. We have Star Lotulelei, who's one of the best nose tackles in the NFL. He can bull rush guards and get into the pocket really quickly, or he can hold the line of scrimmage and eat up two blockers. So Kawan Short and Julius Peppers can get into the pocket and disrupt the quarterback. So yeah, if you guys have injuries on your offensive line, you might be in for a long day.
So what you're saying is Amir Abdullah isn't going to be the first 100-yard rusher for the Lions in 3 years this week.
I'm not a gambling person, but I would bet money that, yeah, he's probably not going to rush for 100 yards.
Fair enough. And speaking of Amir Abdullah, limited with his ankle injury, he was cleared to come back in the game against the Vikings, but did not. So I don't think there's necessarily something to worry about there, but he was still on the injury report, so it's something that might be lingering a little bit. But with that, let's move on to our next segment. We're going to get to talk about matchups and specifically what this Panthers team is all about, because they've looked awfully different, kind of on the end of each spectrum over the past 2 weeks. So we're going to get a little bit of clarity there. At least we're going to try. So stick with us. We're going to be right back. All right, welcome back to First Bite, the preview podcast for the Detroit Lions. We are here talking with Bradley Smith of Cat Scratch Reader to preview the game against the Panthers this Sunday. Now, I want to talk to you, Bradley, about this Panthers team, because I sat this week and I really wanted to figure out this Carolina team, and I watched the last two games, and I've never seen two teams that have looked more different from each other. The Panthers, on their own turf, get just routed by their division rival, the New Orleans Saints, and then come back the next week, shock everybody, probably ruin a bunch of people's survivor pick by going to New England and beating the Patriots in a shootout in a game they really controlled for most of the game. So I know this isn't going to be an easy question, but who are these Carolina Panthers through four games? I can't put a finger on them right now.
I really wished I could answer that question. you know, the Panthers have been in the NFL since 1995, and it's been the same story since 1995. They're really good 1 year. They're really bad the next year. They're mediocre the next year. They're mediocre, and then they're decent, and then they're bad, and then they're really good, and then they're bad, and then they're okay, and then they're really good, and then they're really bad. And it's been that way for 22 years, and there's no consistency. There's no identity. There's no, we just simply do not know. You know, they beat the 49ers handily in week one. They had a defensive battle against Buffalo in week two that they won. They got absolutely shellacked in week three. And then they won in a shootout in week four. That's pretty much the life story of the Carolina Panthers, those four games. You know, we either will see the team that comes out and Cam is Cam and the offense is firing on all cylinders and we rout the team and then we let them come back in the second half because Panthers fans cannot have anything that is not stressful and nerve-wracking and nail-biting and alcohol-inducing. It has to be close. You know, we're the cardiac cats for a reason.
Hey, that, I thought that was our thing.
Yeah, that's our thing. That's gimmick infringement.
No. That's our thing.
We finally disagree.
You act like the Lions have been around for like 100 years or whatever, you know.
All right.
But you know, I mean, we just don't know. I mean, we could come in on Sunday and beat the crap out of you. We could come in on Sunday and get shut out. We could come in on Sunday and it's, you know, 9-9 in overtime. We don't know.
Well, one thing that I think some Panthers fans are holding out hope for, and I think Cam Newton is as well, is that they finally potentially turned a corner offensively. They weren't that successful for 3 weeks, maybe 49ers game aside, offensively. You know, you said it yourself. They won a defensive battle against the Bills. Cam Newton threw three interceptions against the Saints, and then all of a sudden they light up the Patriots. And I know Lions fans will point out that the Patriots defense has been awful so far this year. And then you look at a team like the Saints, who at least the perception is their defense is awful as well. So did the Panthers figure something out between week three and week four? Was this just, you know, part of Panthers randomness? Do you see the Panthers kind of headed on an upward trajectory or how do you see it so far?
Well, I like to believe that they figured it out because there is a key difference in what we saw the first 3 weeks of the year and then the fourth week against New England, and that they let Cam Newton be Cam Newton. You know, they let him run the ball. They let him roll out with bootlegs. They let him run the option. They let him pitch it to McCaffrey. They let him, you know, run the play action. You know, that's where he's best. And, you know, in weeks one, two, and three, what we saw was they tried to make him into a straight, you know, stay in the pocket, you know, dump it off to the running back, you know, dink and dunk it down the field. And that's not Cam Newton. I mean, that's just not the kind of quarterback he is. He is a, you know, athletic, let's get out there and go. Let me run the ball with my, when there's nothing open downfield, I can get a first down with my legs. I don't have to throw this ball to the wide, to the running back 5 yards from me. I can run and gain those 5 yards and probably even more. You know, they let him be the Cam Newton that we saw in 2015 when we went 15-1. And I think if they keep doing that, which, you know, any coach in the entire league would look at that film and say, you know, we played really well. We should keep doing this. If they do that, I think the problems will solve themselves. I think that, you know, they'll struggle a little bit because New England's defense is laughably awful. I think, you know, Detroit is way better defensively than New England is. I don't even think that's a controversial statement to make at all. I don't think we'll see a situation where we, you know, run all over Detroit or anything, but I do think we'll see more success.
And I think part of that success kind of hinges on one of the most intriguing guys on this Panthers offense, and that's Christian McCaffrey. Statistically hasn't had that outstanding of a season, especially when you compare him to other rookies like Kareem Hunt, who are kind of getting all the offensive rookie of the year attention at this moment. How do you see Christian McCaffrey through 4 weeks of the season? And do you think we've just kind of seen the tip of the iceberg so far?
I think so. One of the things that intrigues me is against San Francisco, he looked like a, you know, the toy you get on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and you just want to play with it, and that's all you want to do. We force-fed him the ball. You know, we kept throwing it to him, kept handing it off to him. And I think they, or at least I like to think, they did that to put it on film. And so now, anytime he's on the field and anytime you put him in motion, the defense pays attention to him. And we saw that last week against New England. You know, we ran a play where Newton faked a handoff to him, and the entire defense trailed and followed where Christian McCaffrey went. And that left Fozzie Whitaker wide open in the flat for a screen, and that play went over 40 yards for a touchdown. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey doesn't get any statistical credit at all for that play, but he made it happen. And that's the kind of impact he's had, you know, on opposing defenses so far. It's not so much as he's rushing for 100 yards or he's, you know, catching a ball 5 yards from the line of scrimmage and then making eight guys miss and taking it to the house for a 70-yard touchdown. He's not doing those things yet, but he's giving the appearance of a weapon, and he's showing the defense that he's on the field and they have to at least pay attention to him. And it's giving Newton options for other players that can find a way to get open and move the ball. So I think we'll see a lot of that. But I do think that going forward, we're going to see him start getting more and more opportunities to carry the ball, and he's going to start figuring out how to make defenders miss. And when he does that, the rest of the league's going to have to really look out.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think, a guy that is just kind of waiting to explode there. And we'll see how it works, because I think with the Lions' run defense specifically, we're still kind of in the wait-and-see period. The Lions did stop, you know, they stopped the Cardinals, they stopped the Giants, but both those teams haven't proven to be very good running teams so far. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, because I think that's where Carolina kind of makes their money. We got to talk about Luke Kuechly. As much as I want to pretend he's not on the Carolina Panthers, he is. He's a force. Is there anything the Lions can do to stop him, to neutralize him, to just pretend that he doesn't exist and get along without them?
No, other than telling him the game starts at 4 o'clock,
okay,
and actually having it at 1, no, not really. He's probably the best, the most unblockable, the most uncoverable, all that, best 4-3 middle linebacker that I have seen play in, you know, not named Ray Lewis and not named Brian Urlacher. You know, those are the only two that I can come up with off the top of my head that are better than Luke Kuechly. And he's just that good. I mean, there's just nothing, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, he's a good tackler. He's a good coverage linebacker. He can get interceptions. I mean, he dropped a pick six against New Orleans, and that's, you know, we were shocked that he dropped it. That's how good he is. But he's really good pre-snap too. That's where he really wins. You know, I don't know if you guys watch NFL Network Top 100 countdown videos, but when Luke Kuechly is mentioned, you know, other teams' players are, you know, they had an offensive lineman for Cincinnati. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Whitworth. He was saying that, you know, they were playing – and Luke Kuechly was calling their plays before they were. And this is a team in the AFC North. Like, it's not like it was an NFC South rival. This was a team that we hardly ever see. And he knew enough, and he was good enough to read the play pre-snap and call the exact play they were going to run. And I don't know very many linebackers who can do that.
Is there something he does particularly often? Like, is he in coverage more? Is he blitzing a lot? Is he just there in run support, or just can he potentially do anything on every play?
He can pretty much do anything. One thing they don't do much with him is blitz. They usually keep him in as a run support, or they'll put him on a tight end. They don't normally blitz with Luke Kuechly. It's not that he can't do it, it's just that they don't. Right. So, you know, you don't really have to worry about that.
And it's interesting that you bring up tight end, because the Lions tight ends kind of had a resurgence last week. Darren Fells had 4 catches for 40 yards. Eric Ebron had, I believe, 2 for in the 20s or 30s. Outside of Kuechly, are the other linebackers also kind of adept at coverage skills? Or is that something, if Kuechly isn't on a specific tight end, the Lions could potentially exploit?
Well, it depends on which linebacker is in the game. Thomas Davis is more of a run support tackling linebacker. He can play coverage, but he's not as good at it as Luke Kuechly. The other linebacker, Shaq Thompson, is better in coverage. He, you know, when he was in college, he was more of like a safety type, you know, a big safety type player. So if Thomas Davis is on the field, you could possibly exploit it. If not, if it's Shaq Thompson, you might have a harder time getting a tight end to have an advantage. But, you know, they usually – Shaq Thompson has played more snaps than Thomas Davis because they're trying to keep Thomas Davis fresh, you know, throughout the whole year. So it's just a matter of which one's on the field at whatever point in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, just looking at the Football Outsiders team defense DVOA against tight ends – Carolina's sixth in the NFL in covering tight ends, but they do have some deficiencies. You kind of mentioned, you know, guarding wide receivers against number one wide receivers. They're actually 26th in the NFL. Against other wide receivers, they're 22nd in the NFL. So talk a little bit about where – I know you mentioned, you know, in terms of Kenny Galladay with the safeties being missing, that kind of middle of the field. So potentially there might be some opportunities for the Lions to maybe take the top off the defense. But at the same time, you know, truly the Lions, I think the Lions offense is predicated on one guy in particular, and it's Golden Tate. I think Golden Tate is really the straw that stirs the drink. He has been lining up a lot more in the slot this season as opposed to lining up on the outside. Talk about maybe who Golden Tate might match up against this week in the slot and maybe how you see something like that going down on Sunday.
Well, I would love to tell you that they're going to play nickel and they're going to put Captain Munnerlyn on Golden Tate and have some success because Munnerlyn is good at covering slot receivers. But based on what we've seen so far this year, they're probably going to keep their big nickel package on and they'll put Shaq Thompson on him. And Golden Tate will probably catch about 12, 13 catches for about 200 yards.
Good. Yes, that's what I want to hear. This is yeah, what I want to hear.
You know, that's the Panthers, for some reason, struggle with guys like Golden Tate. You know, they struggle with Brandon Cooks. They struggle with Michael Thomas. They struggle with Ted Ginn when he can catch the ball. you know, they struggle with those guys. And I really don't think they're going to play the kind of formation that they should play because they haven't done it all year. So if you've got a guy that can expose what we do on defense and can get in between those two levels of the zone, if you can get behind the linebacker and in front of the safety, somebody like Golden Tate could chew us alive.
All right. I think we'll end the discussion on matchups there because it's a good note for us.
It doesn't get any better than hearing Golden Tate's going to get 200 yards receiving.
Unless he has butterfingers.
Oh, that was tasty.
Anyways, let's get into our last segment of each one of these first bites. And it's one thing I think I know we're going to hand out some predictions here, not necessarily your score prediction, so you don't need to necessarily give us who you think is going to win, Bradley, but we'd like to hear one thing that you think is, you know, is going to happen on Sunday, and we are going to kick it off with Ryan. Ryan, what do you have for us?
All right, so based on everything I've heard from the opposition, and as far as I'm concerned, Bradley is a gentleman and a scholar, and he is a very knowledgeable man about the Carolina Panthers. So I'm going to take his word as gospel. What I'm hearing is that the Panthers front seven, while it may be good, and it might be very good, their secondary is a little bit lacking. I have faith that the Lions offensive line is going to do a little bit better of a job of protecting Matthew Stafford this week. I know they're banged up, but I got faith in them because they paid a lot of money for him. So with that being said, I think Matthew Stafford is going to have the best game he's had so far this season. And I'm willing to double down. Not like the KFC sandwich, because that's disgusting. But I'm willing to double down. And I'm willing, because I am a betting man. I know Bradley mentioned earlier he is not a betting man, but I am. And I think I know, and I'd be willing to wager on this, that Matthew Stafford is going to have the best game he's had in the Jim Bob Cooter era.
Wow.
That might be spicy. That might be spicy, but I'm feeling like Matthew Stafford's going to have quite the day on Sunday. Like, we're talking like maybe 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back and see when Jim Bob Cooter came over. What's the best statistical game he had?
I think the best game might be Thanksgiving against the Eagles when he had 5 touchdowns.
Yep, I'm 27 of 38, 71 completion percentage, 337 yards and 5 touchdowns.
It's pretty good, but I'm thinking that numbers don't always tell the full story. And I know that was a really good game, but I feel like the Lions defense played really well that game too. So I'm feeling it this week, okay? And as a man who called Eric Ebron shot on Facebook Live a couple weekends ago, here's another hot take. Eric Ebron will probably be neutralized this entire game. Luke Kuechly scares the crap out of me. But that's what I got for things I think I know this week.
That sounded like two things you think you know. I think you just broke the rules.
Well, the man with perfect attendance gets to do what he wants.
All right, Bradley, it's your turn. Why don't you hit us with something from the Panthers' perspective?
Okay, before I do, I have to make one comment on what Ryan just said.
Oh,
when
no.
He said he has faith in the offensive line because we paid a lot of money for them. That is a deathly trap. we paid Matt Khalil $55 million.
And how much did you pay Remmers? A lot of money too, right?
Yeah, we paid Remmers a pretty decent amount of money. The Vikings paid him less than we paid Khalil. And I have zero faith in Matt Khalil. So,
That's interesting. We didn't even talk about him, but him against Ziggy should be an interesting matchup.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to be fun at all. But my thing I think I know is I think Christian McCaffrey's going to figure out how to make defenders miss. I think he's finally going to break through. He's going to have his first 100-yard rushing game. He's going to score his first NFL touchdown.
That's an interesting point. We talked a little bit about McCaffrey already, and I talked a little bit how I'm still a little skeptical about this Lions run defense. So I definitely see that in the realm of possibilities. I'm hoping that my jersey curse will finally end and Jared Davis will be back this week and potentially put a cap on that. But I think a lot of Lions fans are putting a little too much faith into Jared Davis. Like, he's our savior at this point. But considering Paul Warlow's out, and I don't think a lot of Lions fans want to see the players they've had at linebackers over the past 2 weeks in the game because they aren't good enough to be in the game, he would make a big difference. And I don't know if it's enough to stop a guy like Christian McCaffrey. But I think that's a pretty good prediction too. I could see that happening for sure. Maybe a little more so than I could see Stafford going off for 400 yards, but who know? What do I know? I've been labeled as the Lions hater through 4 weeks because I've picked against them 3 times. The one thing I think I know, and this is going to be a positive thing for the Lions, so perk your ears up, listeners. I think Cam Newton is going to throw at least one interception, probably 2 interceptions in this game. He's just a quarterback that I think is prone to making mistakes. He's not very accurate, and we've seen through 4 games that this Lions secondary is very much ball hawking. Glover Quinn is playing out of his mind. Darius Slay is still lockdown status. And I think this Panthers wide receiver core is just not good enough to create enough separation where Cam Newton's going to be able to thread needles or not even have to thread needles. I think Kelvin Benjamin gets shut down by Darius Slay. He'll maybe get 40, 50 yards, but nothing more than that. And as much as I love Funches for his Wolverine-ness, I don't see a big day in for him either. So that's what I think I know. I think that just about wraps up our podcast, unless there's anything that I'm missing, Ryan.
You're missing something very important. I mean, we have a gentleman from Cat Scratch Reader. His name is Brad, and we have not even brought up the Panthers' third-string quarterback, former sixth-round pick of the Detroit Lions in the 2017 NFL Draft, Mr. Brad Kaya. Okay. Brad, please fill us in on our most missed former third string quarterback.
Is this hashtag Kaya Watch?
Yes.
No more Hack and Watch? Nope.
No, Hack and Watch survives, and that'll be on the podcast each and every week. But Brad Kaya, I mean, we have a man here who knows what he's talking about. Tell us about Brad Kaya. Tell me that good things are happening for Brad Kaya, Brad.
Well, there is a Facebook movement amongst Panthers fans to get rid of Cam Newton and start Brad Kaya. Now, I don't know if I can get behind that yet.
Or if you should ever get behind that, to be honest.
I mean, you know, let's be honest. The only interesting thing about Brad Kaya is his mom was the bifocal.
No, don't mention
it. But, you know, I mean, you know, as Panthers fans since 2011, we've pretty much gotten used to, if you're a living, breathing human being and you've ever taken a snap from a center in any kind of organized or unorganized football, you're a better quarterback than Cam Newton. So, you know, we're used to it by now. But I actually think that, you know, Kaya could possibly be a good backup quarterback in a couple of years. I don't know why they brought him in now, but, you know, hey.
I'll be honest. It was a bit of a head scratcher for me too, because I, and no pun intended, but like the thing with Brad Kaya was that he definitely wasn't going to make the Lions roster. They only carried two quarterbacks, but the fact that the Panthers took him and had to put them on their active roster, especially when they have a guy like Derek Anderson as their backup, like it seemed kind of odd that they would pick up a rookie quarterback and roster him at the same time. So that was kind of weird in and of itself, but I completely agree with you. I think that somewhere down the line, Brad Kaya will make a hell of a backup quarterback.
All right, that's enough of third string quarterback talk. We don't want to start getting into Kellen Moore territory.
I have to answer to what he said.
Okay.
You know, because he actually does make a point. He's not. Derek Anderson is terrible. And I honestly wish that we would get rid of Derek Anderson and just go with Brad Kaya as the backup quarterback. And I'm still mad that we got rid of Joe Webb. And that's how bad our quarterback room is after Cam. I'm mad that we got rid of Joe Webb. you know, he was our wide receiver, kick returner, punt return, gunner, third string quarterback. I think he brought lunch to the coaching staff on Fridays. I mean, you know, he did like 18 different things. And, you know, if you've watched Derek Anderson this year, even in the mop-up duty against the Saints, he is god awful. Like, he was horrible, horrible. The game has passed him by. I get that he's a veteran. I get that he's good in the film room. Make him the quarterback coach or the assistant quarterback coach or whatever you want to do, and just roll with Kaya. I mean, if Cam Newton gets hurt, we're screwed anyway. You know, we're not winning with Derek Anderson. So
nearly everybody in the league, you know?
Yeah. If your starting quarterback goes down, you're done for. You know, backup quarterbacks by nature, they're not good. Otherwise, they wouldn't be backup quarterbacks. So at this point, I'm almost on that Brad Kaya bandwagon, but strictly as the number two guy, not the number one guy.
I'm gonna send you my resume because I think I need to work for you guys as well. As long as you love that, I will write Brad Kaya articles for you each and every week.
Well, this is a good segue. If you want to contact Bradley Smith, how can they get a hold of you, Bradley? How can they reach you? How can they find you on the internet? Why don't you pimp yourself out for a little bit?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @BeatUpSmitty. I pretty much live on Twitter. I don't get into Facebook that much, so I'm not really on there, you know, because Facebook is like the bane of existence. You can also follow us on Twitter at Cat Scratch Reader. I pretty much run the account there. Most of the time, if it's a tweet from Cat Scratch Reader, it's me. Unless it's not funny, then it's somebody else. you know, but
I have that same problem.
Yeah. You know, but you can also follow me at, you know, actually Cat Scratch Reader. We should be featuring a couple of things about the upcoming Lions Panthers game over the next couple of days, because that's what we do. We have our offensive preview up today. Tomorrow we'll have our defensive preview up, where we look at how things match up between the two teams from our perspective. And, you know, we'll have the injury report updated every day. We'll have Q&A with you guys too, probably tomorrow or Friday. So, you know, stay tuned.
All right, Bradley, I appreciate you joining us today. I appreciate your patience with all of our technical issues that no one knows about except for us. And good luck to you on Sunday. we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody.